Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 219 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? As always, I thank you for listening. And all right, well, here we go. Well, first things first, I need to apologize. I was wrong. I'll apologize for being wrong. Or maybe I'm wrong. I guess time will tell. But anyway, last podcast, I talked about Kellen Winslow Jr., the football player, being arrested after being in a trailer park outside of San Diego. Well, it turns out that he may not have been an innocent, large black man walking around. He's been arrested and charged with unbelievably heinous crimes of kidnap and rape toward multiple women. And these women, to make it even worse, were seniors. I don't know if that makes it worse, but more shocking. Yeah, make it more shocking. So multiple accusers, ages 54, 59, 71, and 80, says that he held them against their will and raped them, picked up one as a hitchhiker, et cetera, et cetera. No sense getting into details, but these crimes are horrible. And if he's found guilty, he'll be doing life in prison. And so he was arrested for that a week after he had been arrested for being in the trailer park. Now, again, I don't know if he's guilty, but I was wrong in saying he's innocent because we don't know that. I hope this isn't license for people to just call the cops on large black men. But this will definitely be used as, see, they are dangerous. And, you know, these cases, they still go on. So, a guy named Henry Sinte, a.k.a. Jogger Joe, I don't know if you heard this story, but he was in Lake Merritt, which is a park in Oakland, and he just started throwing away a homeless guy's stuff. He started throwing it in the lake. He started throwing it in the trash. He basically lost his mind. Just, you know. Listen, a homeless guy living in the park may be an eyesore. You may not like it, but he's still human. And this guy, a homeless guy, didn't hurt anybody, and people knew who he was. And after all this happened, people got it on video. They took up collections for him, and they they helped him out, and they found who this man is, and now this man has been arrested for suspicion of first-degree robbery, because you can't just take a person's belongings. We had another case of a girl. Her name's Tabby Duncan, 20 years old. I don't know if you saw the video. She was riding in a pickup truck with her friends, and they were talking about going nigger hunting, and we're going to hunt some niggers, and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, they found out who she was. She lost her job. She had signed up to join the Air Force, and the Air Force was like, nope, you're gone. You know, another case, and there's a point to this. There's a point to this. A reporter from the L.A. Times, L.A. Times, fake news, liberal, blah, blah, blah. She's raising her daughter to speak three languages. She speaks Spanish. That's her family's language. Her husband is Armenian, and they had a daughter, and she wanted her daughter to speak all three languages. So doctors or experts, whoever, said a newborn child's mind is wide open. So whatever you teach them, whatever you speak to them, they'll learn. So she only speaks to her daughter in Spanish. Her father speaks to her daughter in Armenian, and people in general speak English. So now the kid is, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, and speaks three languages, which is amazing. So this woman claims she was in the park, and she was speaking Spanish with her daughter, and some woman, random, just goes up to her and says, "Speak English, you're confusing your daughter." Now, first of all, let's get past who the hell are you, right, to tell someone how to speak to their child? But this whole speak English. So here's my point on these three stories, and it's going to lead to obviously what the big story of the week is, which is the United States taking children from their mothers. Mothers are seeking asylum, or they might be sneaking across the border, whatever. So we take, I hate to say we, but it's the U.S. government, so it's we. Take these children, and now they show these children have been put in cages. These children, you can hear tapes of their screams and crying. It's horrible. It is beyond anything you can imagine as a human. But here's the thing with all of these cases, whether it's a white guy throwing away a homeless man's belongings, or a young girl with her friends going nigger hunting, or somebody with the nerve to tell you to speak English to your baby in the park. The hatred, the racism, it's, I would say it's unbelievable, but it's not. It is becoming our normal. And don't think that people aren't as outraged over snatching these children as you might think. Now, this is my opinion, my podcast, my opinion. It's just like Trump voters. More people voted for Trump than will ever admit it. You know a Trump voter. You know, and they are like, oh, I would never. And they went in there and they voted for him. When you get into this kind of racism and hate, these people don't see these Latino, Hispanic, whatever you want to say. They don't see these mothers. They don't see these children as human. They don't. So they don't think of it as the same as losing their own child. And the ultimate example of that would be Ivanka Trump posing with that picture with holding her child in the midst of this. They don't see it the same. It is horrible. And, you know, I could use that word 100 times, but it's real. They don't care. Okay. They don't care. This goes back to slavery when they destroyed families. They didn't see those black children of slaves as human. They didn't think that a black mother loved her child in the same way that a white mother did. And they don't see these Latinos loving their child the same way. The excuse of it's the law is bullshit, because there's a loophole in the law that allows for, if you're doing a criminal activity, they can take your child from you. But there's nothing that says you have to do this. It says you can. So this is something the Trump administration has chosen to do. And they've questioned them about it, the representatives. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, of course, goes with it's the law. And when questioned about the humanity of it, and are you, you're a mother, et cetera, she just, with next question. Kirstjen Nielsen, the head of Homeland Security, claims it's the law and it's an issue. Inhuman, and part of this administration. And we have an administration that recognized Kim Jong-un and is snatching away children and left the Human Rights Council in the UN. So this is America, okay? Let's stop pretending it's not. And the outrage, they don't care. You know, Trump's using this as a political thing to build the wall. And if the outrage becomes too high, then Kirstjen Nielsen, I know I'm saying that wrong, Kirstjen Nielsen, will lose her job, and they'll say it was her, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But this kind of racism and hatred, etc., this is America, man. This is who we become. Or maybe this is who we've been the whole time, and Trump just allowed it to be. Now, I'm not saying all of America agrees with this, because we don't. There's a lot of humanity in America. But this is policy. Jeff Sessions using the Bible, quoting the Bible to perform these heinous acts. It's been done before. The Bible was used to justify slavery. The Bible's used to justify segregation, blah, 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 blah. It's who we are. The writer of Pogo said it one time, a great old comic strip. He said, I have seen the enemy and he is us. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I don't know if we can do better. I don't know if we will do better. It is what it is. You can go, you can, again, read the articles, you can watch it, whatever you want. It is how things are done. Another example, this administration, President Trump will nominate Kathy Craninger to be the nation's top consumer watchdog. She will be the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now, you listen to that title, okay, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and you think, oh, so this would be the government agency that's on your side. This is, you know, who's going to help you. Well, like everyone else in the Trump administration, no qualifications. She's never held public office. She's never run a government agency. She has zero experience. Well, what are you going to do? This is who we are. And in this administration, no experience necessary is the only qualification necessary. And this is what we get. And these are horrible people. But as I said, more people voted for this than you think. More people are okay with this than you think. And that is America. The world is seeing it. You think the world isn't watching us put children in cages? My God. Well, at least did not Barack Obama, who knelt down and surrendered to everybody, actually treated leaders of other countries and people of other countries with respect. That was considered weakness. Like the Trump doctrine. America first, bitch. This is America, bitch. This is who we've become. Okay, so I could go on and on, but you've drawn your own conclusion. You've seen a child in a cage and don't think the irony of them using old Walmart stores is lost on me. You've seen a child in a cage in a former Walmart or big box store, and you formed your own conclusions. So I can't tell you what to think or how to feel, but I will say that this is real, and I believe this is who we become, and it is horrible. Switching gears, Chris Hardwick. Wow, I did that like some kind of reporter thing or something. Oh, yeah, it's my podcast. I'm playing that role. Chris Hardwick, the let's call him the super nerd, the guy from AMC who did the Talking Dead show where he analyzed The Walking Dead and huge followings in the podcast community. And, you know, he's a Comic-Con guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. His ex-girlfriend, Chloe Dykstra, says he was sexually and emotionally abusive, that he controlled her, wouldn't let her go out, controlled what she wore, had sex with her against her will, et cetera, et cetera. Many, many claims against him. So AMC dropped him. Comic-Con, he's out. He was supposed to make an appearance at the Kaboom Festival. That's gone. Basically, his career shut down. So we were talking about this last night. I was doing a comedy show. It's a great show in West LA. There's a little comedy theater in Santa Monica. It's just off. It's an alley between 3rd and 4th Street. It's called the West Side Comedy Theater. If you live in LA, check it out. On any given night, there's great small comedy shows. When I say small, this thing doesn't even seat 50 people. Or if it does, 50 people is packed in there. But anyway, very creative, very fun space. I was doing a show last night hosted by Neil Brennan. Neil's a great comic. If you haven't seen Neil, check him out on Netflix. He did a show called Three Mics, where he did three takes on his life, one comedic, one therapeutic, and the other biographical. So it was, yeah, he's a smart guy, very funny, and co-writer, co-creator of Chappelle's Show. So anyway, there were a few comics there, and we were talking about this, and talking about control. So Neil was saying that women have more control in relationships than people think, than they're given credit for. And the argument is, you hear over and over from men, you know, my wife wouldn't let me go to this. I got to stay home. I can't, or I got to go, you know, honeydews are an example. You know, we've all heard about the honeydew list, you know, and this and that and the other. And men's lives changing when they get in a relationship. Now, we were arguing that it's not the same as a woman being controlled through fear of violence. And we kind of agreed on that point. We sort of disagreed. And I make the same argument that I make about the mistreatment of children. There are more women suffering domestic violence than you think. And Neil said, and again, I am not knocking Neil, and please don't try to trash him over this, because it's an opinion. And believe me, we share opinions. We differ. That's what we love about talking, and talk like this among comics is great. But Neil said he didn't know anybody who was a woman abuser. And we were like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You just don't know it. What goes on in people's relationship, and I'll stop that with Neil. It was just, it had to do with a joke and the premise of a joke, and the audience went, it's true. A lot of men are controlled in relationships. It just seems to me, now this is my opinion, that when men take control in a relationship through violence, that's a much worse thing. But, you know, there are more, shifting away from that, there are more victims of domestic violence, and it is a more pervasive form of control. I mean, I've had experience with that. I have women friends who have been victims of domestic violence or in fear of domestic violence, and it is a whole nother thing. It's to the point where I actually helped a friend who was in a violent situation to get out of the situation, and later she turned on me. And cops say it all the time that that happens, that that's why it's dangerous for them to walk into a domestic violence thing. So getting back to the original point and the Chris Hardwick story and all of that, if you're an abusive male and it comes out, the degree of abuse, et cetera, you may suffer penalties for it. You may feel the penalty is unjust if you lose your job or your career, but the pendulum is swung, and it's the way it's going to be. I don't know what Chris Hardwick did. I don't know step by step what he did. I don't know if he's a bad guy. The accusations are horrible. The interesting thing, being in Hollywood, there was someone in the room when we were having this discussion who had a friend who is a friend of this woman that went through this with Chris Hardwick. Also, another aspect of this that is a Hollywood aspect is this was a young woman who came to Hollywood to become an actress, et cetera, et cetera. And this has been going on forever, right? This is the extreme being the Harvey Weinstein thing. When women come to this town with a dream and they are vulnerable and they pick the wrong guy, or they pick a controlling guy, or they pick a powerful guy, this shit happens. This story goes on and on. So I hope that, what do I hope? Both sides learn from it. Ladies, you got to watch out for these guys. You have to, you know something Maya Angelou said, when someone tells you who they are, listen to them. Okay, so if a guy is like this, controlling, et cetera, yeah, that's who he is. And you're not going to change him, and you're not going to fix him. And women can be guilty of it too. Women can be manipulative and use sex as a thing. Fortunately, I think most of us are not in either extreme. Most of us aren't in either camp. And also, I'm well aware that this is LA, and LA is different. LA is not America. LA is LA. We things are different here. So relationships in middle America are different, and people get married younger. And listen, I can't figure this all out. Interestingly, all of us having this discussion were single people. So maybe none of us know what the hell we're talking about. But it was a great discussion, and discussions like that have to go on, because if we don't talk to each other, we won't know what each other thinks. So that's the beauty of being a comic. We joke about it, but we can also talk about it. That's it, man. That was enough. While I was doing the podcast, you know, the news popped up that Trump says he's going to be signing something that has to do with the children being taken from their mothers. When he says that, who knows what it means? You know what it means? It means he's setting up his bullshit way to get out of this. He's like, I did it, and now it's not popular. And so he's setting himself up for some bullshit way to get out of it. So, blah, blah, blah. That's that. What else is going on? Let me give you something. Let me give you something nice, because you know, I like to make you feel good. I like to share something good with you. There are two records you need to get. One by my friend Marcus Miller. It's called Laid Black, and it is a fantastic record. And the other is R plus R Equal Now, Collagically Speaking, which is Robert Glasper and just a host of different artists collaborating. It's beautiful music. It's relaxing. It feels good. Hey, it's going into summer. I can't just bomb you with all this, geez, children abuse and domestic violence, and then say, have a nice summer. This is great music. Go watch some baseball. Do something. Relax. Relax. Try to enjoy yourself. This weekend, listen to me. I'm on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And I'll also be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood and Long Beach Friday and Saturday. Who's paying attention? As always, you are. I thank you. I appreciate you. We will keep doing this podcast. We will look for ways to keep laughing. Last week, I was at the most incredible comedy show. It was billed as Dave Chappelle and Jon Stewart. Michael Che did a guest spot. Will Silvins opened. Will is a friend of mine. He got me backstage. I hung out with these guys. I will not give away any of their material. I will tell you that Dave is, as always, doing brilliant stuff. And it's great to see Jon Stewart on stage. It's my first time meeting him. Very funny. Some very great takes on what's going on in the news and his freedom from The Daily Show. Michael Che, as always, brilliant. And Will is funny. So it was fun to be a part of, to hang out with the boys. They even invited me on stage at the end of the show. They do a bullshit session, the four of them on stage. And Dave called me out. And I love how he called me out. He asked the audience, how many NPR nerds are out there? Well, Alonzo Bowden's here. So he knows me from Wait Wait, which I love. I love doing the show. I love you listening to the show. Who's paying attention? You are. I appreciate you. Listen, the news gets heavy at times. I make it funny at times. I hope between now and the next time I see you, nobody calls the cops on me. Love you. Bye.